space. Sam Campbell from the Weather Bureau says the monsoon trough is shifting slowly south, bringing more rain to Townsville, the Herbert and Lower Burdekin area.
I'd say it was hard to see the rainfall rates increasing around the Townsville area. We'll probably see that last for a few hours as that burst of activity moves through, and then we could see another burst of activity during the evening hours.
Meantime, the monsoonal deluge has been declared a catastrophe by the Insurance Council of Australia, with losses estimated at $16.7 million and the worst yet to come. Spokesman Campbell Fuller has told the ABC they've received about 2,000 claims already from the Townsville area.
So under the declaration, claims from affected policyholders in Townsville will be given priority by insurers. Those claims will be triaged as well to direct urgent assistance to the worst affected property owners.
Residents of nearly 100 apartments in Sydney's damaged Opal Tower can move back into their homes, with the builder cutting off payments for food and temporary accommodation. Icon won't pay for food and accommodation after this morning for residents of 97 apartments, after the body corporate's engineers declared those units safe to occupy. It follows Icon's announcement on January 27 that 74 apartments in the Sydney Olympic Park building were ready to be reoccupied. Also in news, a 50-year-old Surfers Paradise man has been charged after Brisbane Airport's international terminal was shut down when he allegedly threatened a woman with a knife. And no more asylum seeker children will be held on Nauru, with the final four preparing to fly to the US with their families for resettlement. Overseas, a helicopter carrying Nigeria's vice president crash-landed en route to a political campaign 2 weeks before an election, but he survived the incident unharmed. Nigerians go to the polls on February 16 to elect a new president. And according to the White House, President Donald Trump is hitting the links at his Florida club with professional golfers Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods. Trump arrived at his private club in Florida this morning after he escaped the bitter cold and snow in Washington a day earlier. This is Air News. Australia's men have left it until the last possible moment to find their best rugby and now face Fiji in a Sydney Sevens quarter final. The hosts scored after the siren against South Africa last night to scrape into second place in their pool on points differential and ensure their title defence had a heartbeat on the tournament's final day today at Spotless Stadium. Joining them in the quest for back-to-back titles is the Australian women's team, who play semi-final first time as Ireland this morning. Daniel Hughes and James Vince have piloted the Sydney Sixes to a 9-wicket rain-affected win over Sydney Thunder and into the Big Bash League finals. Terry Daniel reports.
The Thunder made a meagre 6 for 128, but the Sixers' target was reduced to 84 runs from 12 overs after two rain delays at the SCG. Hughes, fresh from a superb unbeaten half-century against Adelaide, made 41 not out and Vince 43 not out, gently guiding their side to victory, chasing down the revised target with 9 balls to spare. Their fourth win in a row elevated the Sixers to second spot with one game remaining. Terry Daniel, Air Sport.
Sri Lanka will return to the crease on day three of the second test on 3 for 123 after Australia declared it 5 for 534 on day two. Australia will be among 18 nations contesting the Davis Cup finals in Madrid after thumping Bosnia and Herzegovina in a qualifying tie in Adelaide. And in the NBL, Adelaide beat Cairns 100-91. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Sauvignon Blanc Semillon. By DeBortley, of course. Here's the traffic.
Enjoy up to 30% off selected furniture and homewares products at the Freedom Floor Stock Clearance. Don't miss out. Hurry into your nearest Freedom store today. Only while stocks last. In Randwick, lights are blacked out on Allison Road at the racecourse entrance. In St. Peter's, Campbell Street is now one way, westbound only, between Brown and May Streets due to roadworks. And if you're off to the airport, we've got minor delays on Mar Street approaching the international terminal. Bunnings huge stock clearance is on now. Get in quick for amazing value on a wide range of products for your home, garden and DIY projects. Only while stocks last, head in store today. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Wideline Windows and Doors can help make your next build or home reno a success. Drop into any showroom and check out their extensive range of quality aluminium and timber designs, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Any size, any shape, any space. Widelines experts will help create the perfect frame for your view. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. Showrooms open at Port Macquarie, Broadmeadow, Tuggerah, Rosebery and Parramatta.
Punters, we bet you, you can't find a better betting app than the TAB app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the TAB app today and stay ahead of the game. TAB. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney weather today, and it's going to be a warmish day, a sunny day here in Sydney town. And as I just go to the Bureau of Meteorology and I find the expected temperature for Sydney, the forecast is for mostly sunny. Winds northerly 15 to 20 kilometres an hour, turning northeasterly 15 to 25 kilometres an hour in the afternoon. Mostly sunny day, 0% chance of rain, which is very nice, and a maximum of 29 degrees.
It gets it through, there it is, he's done it! The start of boyhood dreams for Travis Head. A maiden test century, that'll be his 100. It's a piece of test perfection for Patterson. Now swings one of Brook, and Moise Ali juggles first, superbly well. He doesn't know how to do that. He scores the goal and he breaks the record. Goal number 9 of the Asian Cup.
Quiet first half by his standards as Lish spots Brian Bowen, who spots another highlight.
4 days is what's left of in such a parlous state. Speaking of which, the Wanderers are in a parlous state as Redenton scores. It's 4. And the procession continues.
This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
And yeah, welcome back to the program. Can you believe it, Mossy? It's the final hour.
It's quite remarkable.
It goes like that, doesn't it?
Time flies when you are having fun.
We have a big hour coming up. Mark Waugh very shortly to talk some of cricket. Dick Fain will take us through Super Bowl 53 over there at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. Trent Lansgale from tab.com.au. And our talk topic today is the replacements. So the replacements is what we're looking for. And I tell you what, there's a lot of good ones coming in. We've had that one about the Socceroos. Barnsley and Mossy, I have nothing else. Kind regards to Pinnacle. Don't understand about that one. A replacement player's dream. Here's a good one. Former St George hooker Chris Guider, playing in the 1985 Under-23s Grand Final win versus Parramatta. Then he comes on as a replacement in the reserve grade Grand Final winning against Canberra. Then he's used as a second-half replacement for Phil Ritchie in the first grade Grand Final, going within an ace of making it 3 premierships on the one day. Saints lost 7-6 to Canterbury. That's Eddie from Glenfield. That's a good one.
Mm.
Chris Guider, that was famous, wasn't it? It'll never happen again because you have to finalise your squads.
Nor will you ever get, probably, a world-class footballer like Roger Miller falling asleep in the first half in a World Cup in the dressing room and then coming out and scoring winning goals.
I reckon there's a chance of that. I reckon someone somewhere is so laid back.
How do you possibly do that?
They're almost horizontal. You could almost use that to describe our next guest when he played cricket. He made it look so easy. I know he wasn't doing it easy. He wasn't. It looked effortless, but there was effort there. I think I'm right in saying that. I haven't upset you too much, have I, Mark Waugh? Good morning,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, you know, guys, I actually did fall asleep before I was waiting to go into bat a few times. Yeah, that was more nerves. So maybe Roger Miller was just so nervous, mate. That's why I fell asleep.
So are you serious? You fell asleep out of nerves?
Oh, you definitely close your eyes. You think you're sitting there waiting to go in the bat for 3 or 4 hours in a, it can get a bit claustrophobic too in some of the dressing rooms and some of the viewing rooms. So, yeah, but it wasn't because I wanted to fall asleep. It just happened. My nerves, that's the way my body reacted to being nervous sometimes.
Do you remember what your innings was like when you did get out in the middle?
Yeah, well, it's not the ideal situation, is it, when you're asleep, then bang, you've got to go out and bowling 140 kilometres an hour. I did get a few first ball ducks. I don't know whether that was the contributing factor or just lack of skill, but, it's interesting the way, people react to their nerves.
All right, well, the skill's been there for Australia. The execution of those skills might have been in question. When it rains, it pours. No one scored a century. Then we get 3 in this first innings. Is that a reflection on better application from the Australian batsmen, the pitch that has greeted them at Manuka, or the bowling attack that Sri Lanka have served up?
Well, I'd say all three. The percentages of which one's been the most important factor out of those three is questionable, but great to see. I mean, you can only bat and score runs against your opposition you're playing against.
Yep.
Joe Burns, Curtis Patterson, Travis Head have got the magical 100th in this game on a very good batting pitch, But to be fair, I mean, Australia were 3 for 20 in that first hour and the ball was swinging around. So, Burns and Head had to get through that. And then Curtis Patterson had to get through the second new ball. They all had a bit of luck, but, great to see, those starts and those 50s converted to 100s. I guess the challenge is now is doing that against better opposition, which we'll find out in the Ashes later in the year.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Junior, sometimes you need the confidence rebuilder. Is this the one that we needed, given the summer that we've had?
Yeah, look, I think it certainly doesn't help, Moss, in sport. When you're winning, it's a good culture throughout the dressing room and a good feeling, and getting that winning feeling back doesn't matter who you beat. It's just good to do it. I mean, if you happen to lose or draw, against a weak opposition, that's even more debilitating. So very important for the camp and Justin Langer, the coaching staff, just to get a good feeling back within the playing group. And, moving ahead, you look at England, they're getting beat by the West Indies, who you would have thought wouldn't be any opposition to England, but England have lost over there. They get a bit complacent. So, things change very quickly in sport mentally, as well as the actual results. So, this would be great for Australia. They should win this test match. I mean, there's a bit of work to do. They've got to get Sri Lanka out twice on a pretty flat pitch. But if we happen to win this test, we win 2-0. And I think it's just good for the guys in the group to get that confidence in the right direction.
Mark, we've had a number of people this morning sending in SMS questioning the captaincy of Tim Payne. They thought he batted too slowly at the crease there when they were looking to get quick runs. And when you get 530-odd, it's here or there on that one. And certainly the way he used Mitchell Starc and then some of the field places. What have been your thoughts on Tim Payne's captaincy over the first 2 days?
Oh, look, I think I haven't seen all the first 2 days, but I think generally since he's been captain, I think tactically he's been pretty good. So to probably pick on, these 2 days, there's things he probably could have done a bit different. But if you watch Test cricket over the last couple of years, you notice that most teams bat for way too long. They just seem to do it. I don't know why. They don't get the game going forward probably as quick as the spectators or the commentators would like. But there's no doubt they've got their tactics. They would have spoken about how long they wanted to bat and, the way to beat Lanka. It mightn't be as obvious to the people watching, but they would have had their plans. But I think generally, I think Tim Payne's done a really good job as captain, so I don't see these couple of days sort of, making any impact on his captaincy overall. I think he's been really good.
Mm. Let's talk Usman Khawaja. I think he's averaged around 23 this summer. I heard Michael Vaughan come out yesterday on the TV and say that he's got a nervous wait to see if he'll be on the plane. Your thoughts, Junior?
Look, I think he'll be on the plane because I still think he's probably our third best player behind Smith and Warner. But clearly there's something not right there. He's just not the player he was even, 3 or 4 months ago in the UAE. He batted beautifully over there. Look, I don't know definitely, but I just wonder whether off-field issues are worrying him. It just looks like to me he's just not focused. He's just not there. He's there. I think I sent out a tweet a couple of days ago. I said he's there in body, but he's not there in mind. He doesn't look happy. Without knowing details, I just think he needs a bit of a break or something, or I don't know. But I think he still should go to England because, as I said, I think he's one of our better players. And at the moment, there looks like there's technical issues there, but I think it's more mental. I just don't think he switched on for whatever reason. You'd have to ask him, but he's not the player he was a few months ago.
Interesting to hear Kerry O'Keefe, your colleague, talk about Curtis Patterson and his peers across domestic cricket would have said for a long time that he's the next best. Like, he's the guy who should get the go. He only got the go because he got a couple of hundreds in the trial game, really, against Sri Lanka.
Yep.
And then he's paid it back in spades. He's a guy who you would think now has booked his spot on the plane.
Yeah, you'd imagine so. I mean, we're sort of looking for someone, a steadying influence in that middle order. I don't think six is his spot. I think probably down the track, maybe four or five. But when I was a selector, we definitely spoke about Curtis Patterson. He's been on the radar for a few years. He's been in Australian A teams. The selectors have probably been waiting for him just to convert those 50s and 60s into 100s.
Right.
And once he's done that, they've given him the green light. So he's always been a really consistent and a good, solid player, good character, pretty simple technique. You're looking at him, he's got a good package to survive at test match level. I think moving forward, he's going to get his chance, I think, in that middle order. I mean, he had a bit of luck, didn't he, in this game? Just dropped first ball. He gets out for a duck. We're not talking about him, but he's taken his chance. He's looked good. He's looked the part. So, and you look at his first-class record, it's in the low 40s, which is probably one of the better records floating around Australian domestic cricket. So he's deserved his spot, and he's taken his chance. So now he's got to keep up that standard against better opposition, which is going to be the test for him.
Yeah. Speaking of records, mate, a distinguished career as a player, coach, selector and administrator is going to come to an end soon. Greg Chappell announcing he'll retire age 70.
Yeah, look, he's been around the scene for obviously quite a few years being that age. But, I got a chance to work with Greg only for a little while as a selector at the back end of my selection career, so to speak. And, he's a very well-respected figure, and he's put a lot into the game, both at the top level and also, the National Academy in Brisbane, where he's done a lot of work there with younger guys. He's been overseas as a coach in India. He ruffled a few feathers over there. he got rid of a few of their senior players, so I don't think he's going back to India for a holiday in the too distant future. But, I think it's a good move. I think maybe time to get some fresh blood into the selection panel, some guys a little bit younger and that sort of thing. That's not to say Greg hasn't done a great job, but, you need to refresh and reboot. So, well done to him on a great career after cricket. So interesting to see who they replace him with. When I stepped down as a selector, they didn't replace me with anybody. So they didn't think my spot was too important.
No, yeah, they thought you were irreplaceable. That's right.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe they couldn't find enough money or something. I don't know. But it'd be interesting to see who takes charge that position. So, yeah, interesting times.
Just on that, given the Thunder lost last night to the Sixers and now are essentially out of Big Bash League 08, are you still the governator or are you swinging over to the Magenta now?
Mate, I'm the governor, but my car might start steering towards the SCG instead of Spotless Stadium. But, that was disappointing, actually. Yeah, the Thunder, at the start of the competition, I had them pegged down as, a certain semi-finalist, but, gee, they've been poor.
Mm.
I mean, they've had a few things go against them with the lights not working at the Gab and rain intervening a few games, but you'd have to say their batting and their overseas players have really let them down, apart from Josh Butler. At the start of the tournament, their overseas players have given them nothing. So that's definitely hurt the Thunder. So we'll cheer for the Sixers now. I think they're right in the contest for winning this BBL. I think the Hurricanes, obviously, Renegades are there. And I think the Stars are the dark horse in the BBL.
Mm, that'd be interesting. All right, mate. Well, no runner for Kim today, too.
No, where they are today?
Sapphire Coast and Dubbo.
Nothing. We've had an unlucky week. We've had a lot of seconds and thirds this week. So next week, not sure, actually. I'm just off to Adelaide now to the Big Bash. So
I was going to say, mate, you're not taking a nice leisurely stroll around Terrigal this afternoon?
No, I'd like to, mate. I'd like to. Yeah, nice part of the world, isn't it?
You used to bump into Junior on the coastal walk up there when I was coaching
the
Mariners.
Yeah, get up the skillion there. That's shed a few kilos, I know.
Well, you used to run the skillion. I used to look at it.
I don't know about run it. Jeez, I wouldn't call it run. I'd talk. Say trot or canter, not a lot of pace.
Well, look, it's great that you two can catch up.
We better get on with work.
Yeah, exactly.
Mate.
We've got a radio show to run here, so we're going to keep going with that. Mark, appreciate your time. Enjoy Adelaide.
Okay, see you guys.
Good on you, Junior.
There he is, Mark Waugh, giving his thoughts on the Test cricket and the Big Bash League that's happening over the course of this, it's been a long time now, maybe too long, some people are saying. 1353 53 is the open line number, pretty controversial there. We're going to take a break, and then after the break, we'll come back with more, including we're going to get a Super Bowl update with Dick Fane.
Sky Sports Radio has your best way to reflect on this long weekend of racing. Tuesday morning, Ron Duffy and Dean Lester analyse all the action and take your call. Punters Postmortem, Tuesday morning from 9, Sky Sports Radio.
It's Cheval Grand! Cheval Grand goes on and wins the Japan Cup!
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Super Bowl 53 gets underway. It's 10:30 a.m. local time tomorrow. We are excited about this. It just grows and grows and grows here in Australia. It's the New England Patriots up against the LA Rams. Our man over there stateside is Dick Fane from Radio KJR Seattle. He joins us on the line now. G'day, Dick.
Hi, guys.
Hey, where are you watching this one? I know you've seen it in Vegas a few times. Are you in Nevada?
No, I'm not. I've done it a few times in Vegas, which is fantastic. We've done shows from a sports book on the Thursday and Friday and Saturday prior to the game. We've done that probably 3 or 4 years. That is a lot of fun. I've also done it from Super Bowl Radio Row a couple of times, which, it's fun for a couple of days, and then it gets old and you want to go home. But, I'm just at home this time. Gonna watch it at home, and then talk about it on the radio the next day.
Remember, two nights in Vegas is enough; three is too many. So we know that firsthand. New England $1.74 here in Australia. The LA Rams are $2.15. I want to ask about New England first up. Just incredible what they've done. Is it drawing to an end of the Tom Brady era, or is it drawing to an end of the Bill Belichick era? What I'm asking is, who's the most influential individual in Patriots football?
Boy, that's a great question. Normally, it's the quarterback. Normally, a great quarterback can make up for a mediocre coach. But in this situation, Belichick has just proven, especially with what he's got on the defensive side of the football, to be a mastermind, the greatest defensive head coach that we've ever seen in the NFL. And he does it with just middle-of-the-road type players. He brings guys in that fit his system, and they always seem to peak at the right time. Guys, yeah. This was not a team that I thought was a Super Bowl championship contending team about 2 months ago. I really didn't. I thought it was going to be Kansas City in the AFC, which it almost was.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be the Saints in the NFC, which, let's be honest, it should have been. wasn't for the worst call in playoff history a couple of weeks ago. But the Patriots, if you can call the Patriots a surprise team, I think they have been a surprise team just with the way that they have peaked at the right time, whereas the Rams were, I think, a much better team 2 months ago than they are right now.
And, Dick, Bill Belichick won his first Super Bowl with the Patriots in 2001. There was a guy who was just 15 years of age at the time. His name is Rams coach Sean McVay. Is it simply the master of the apprentice?
Yeah, I think it is right now. I think everybody that knows McVay knows that this isn't just a Johnny-come-lately, that he's going to pop onto the scene and be good for a couple of years and then flame out or get figured out. I think that truly the great football minds think that he is one, and he is going to be a guy that is going to lead his teams to many Super Bowls over his career. And who knows? I mean, he's so young. God, the guy could be coaching for 40 more years if he wants to. I mean, our own Pete Carroll here in Seattle is almost 70. He's almost 40 years Sean McVay's senior. So Sean McVay may be coaching in 2055 for all we know.
It is amazing, isn't it? MVP, we start talking about that. Obviously, Brady comes up there. Jared Goff, if we're talking about the coaches and how different they are in their career trajectory, then we can almost say the same about the quarterback. Has he been such a surprise, Goff, in what he's been able to do? And the thing that I like about him, when I watch him play and I see him interviewed, he seems to be so calm for a young man.
He is. He really has. He's one of those guys whose heart rate never gets too high.
Yeah.
I would say that he does get a little bit rattled when his earpiece turns off. Now, and maybe some of your fans may not know over there that when there's 15 seconds left on the play clock, the head coach cannot communicate with the quarterback anymore. There is an earpiece in the quarterback's helmet, where the coach has constant communication with the quarterback and giving him instructions up until there's 15 seconds left on the play clock. Jared Goff has a tendency to freak out a little bit, and when he can't hear the coach, like he couldn't last week many times in New Orleans because it was so loud, or when that play clock goes down to 15. So I think that's going to be really an interesting thing to look for in this game is, one, does L.A. use hurry-up? Will they go quick snaps where they're snapping the ball with 16, 17, 18 seconds left on the play clock so Sean McVay can continue to talk to Jared Goff throughout the pre-snap? Or will Bill Belichick find a way to slow the Rams down a little bit and make sure that that headset turns off? So then what Belichick will do is he'll change his look. He'll change his defense between 15 seconds on the play clock and about 5 seconds on the play clock to really try to confuse Jared Goff. So that's going to be a really interesting thing to watch tomorrow.
Wow. You kind of alluded to it there, Dick. Is it a bit too simplistic to say it's going to be the offense of the Patriots versus the defense of the Rams?
I think really it's going to be the running games of both teams. I think that it's going to be one, whichever team has the most success on the ground. And the Patriots have shown a propensity here in the playoffs to run two running backs, so they'll have a lead fullback and then a tailback. Usually Devlin is the fullback and Sony Michel as the tailback, and it's been very, very successful. It's kind of old-school football, guys. If you go look at videotapes from the 1980s, they used to use a fullback and a tailback all the time. When I was growing up playing football, we always had a fullback and a tailback in an I formation, or we had a pro set with two running backs behind the quarterback. They've gone away from that in recent years to the one running back, sometimes zero running back sets. But New England will go old school, and statistics tell you that the Rams have struggled defensively against that type of formation, the fullback and the tailback. So I think we're going to see Devlin as a lead blocker from Michelle a lot tomorrow, and we'll see how the Rams can defend that. If they have a trouble defending that, then I think New England's going to win this game. On the flip side, Todd Gurley, how healthy is he? He only got four carries 2 weeks ago. Sean McVay says he's healthy. Is he just throwing shade at us? Does Gurley really have a knee issue? He's had knee surgery in the past. I think Gurley will pop a little bit. I think both teams will be pretty successful running the football tomorrow.
Who's America cheering for, Dick?
Boy, that's a great question. I think normally in most Super Bowls, America is cheering against the New England Patriots. I think it may be a little bit different this year because not even L.A. fans like the Rams. The Rams are kind of a team without a home. They just moved from St. Louis a couple years ago, so St. Louis hates them, and L.A. hasn't had them long enough to even enjoy them. So L.A. is not particularly rooting hard for them either. So I'd say probably, certainly in the building, it's going to be more Patriots fans than it will be Rams fans. It'll probably be about 70-30, maybe even 75-25 Patriots fans.
Who's your wallet cheering for? Who's going to win it?
Well, my wallet's cheering. It's hard for me to cheer for the Patriots, but the way I look at this is pretty simple. If I were to look at the end of the game and say I put my money on the Rams and the Patriots end up winning, I'm just going to end up kicking myself because I'll be telling myself, did I really bet against the GOAT? Did I really bet against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick against essentially a rookie quarterback and a rookie head coach? That's just asinine to do, and so I'd really be kicking myself. Where on the flip side, if I bet against the Patriots and the Rams, who are absolutely capable of winning this football game, if they happen to win, well, then at least I went with the safe side. So I'm taking the safe money this time. I'm going to take the Patriots, certainly on the money line. You know, the 2.5 is about where it should be. If you could get Rams +3 anywhere, that's where I'd start to change and flip over to the Rams side. And that's what we've seen the money do. I mean, the money has been – it started out heavily on New England. I mean, the Rams were the favorites at the beginning of when this first came out.
Yeah.
They're about a 1.5-point favorite. The public and the sharps just bet this all the way over, all the way as far as Rams +3, and then that's when the blowback came, and everybody jumped on the Rams at +3, which I think they should.
Well, no surprise here. The guys at Tab get it spot on. +2.5, the LA Rams. That's the $1.90. -2.5, New England in at $1.90 as well. The Rams, outsiders, $2.15. New England, $1.74. Dick, it's a huge day. Super Bowl Sunday in America. I hope you enjoy it, and thanks for your time this morning.
Sounds good.
Dick Fain there, Radio KGR Seattle. Appreciate his insights into Super Bowl 53 from Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Join the conversation and follow the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Twitter at Big Sports Wend. That's Big Sports WEND.
Just a second question here, the Chinadol quiz. Moss, have you ever been to Chinadol?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't, but I have heard only good reports.
You are not eligible to be the winner of the $150 voucher, which is first time we're being offered today. Second question, you'll need the answer to all three questions. Second question, who did Zorba meet when he visited Australia? Which former NFL superstar did Zorba meet when he visited Australia? Do not call yet. Wait for your third question, 1353-53. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
The new Inglis Race Day at Warwick Farm on February 9, featuring the $2 million Inglis Millennium for two-year-olds and the $1 million Inglis Sprint for three-year-olds, followed by the opening night of the classic yearling sale at Riverside Stables, chase the riches of the Inglis Race Series.
Look, I'm afraid I'm leaving you. I know you've always been so good to me. You're always there when I need you. And the fact is, I still really love you. But, this is hard. I have to move on. The guys are already on the beach.
Hate saying goodbye to your radio? Download Radio App on your phone and take your favourite station anywhere. Radio App, free from the App Store and Google Play.
It's Reid who's in and the goalkeeper's off his line.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. I don't know where the back announce is there. We'll have to work on that one. But 1353-53 is the open line number. Just before we get to some football, and we do when we talk football, we do it with Phil Moss, who's sitting next to me, so that's even more convenient. Here's an SMS that's come through, and I'm going to read it out. G'day, gents. Lots of talk about women's sport and how great it is. Can we please get some reality into these conversations and stop being politically correct? The women's AFL games last night were appalling. They can hardly kick it, catch it, or pass it. They even change the rules and don't throw it in from the sideline because the women are incapable of clearing the area. It's not entertaining. Under 14, boys have more skills. Don't quote crowd figures. They give tickets away. Ever heard the story about the Emperor with no clothes? Final score, Adelaide 18, Bulldogs 17. Was it soccer? Dave from Cronulla. Read it out and stop being PC.
Well, there you go, Dave. Jimmy has read it out.
I've got to say, of all the women's sport, and I'm talking WBBL, I enjoy watching it. No one's going to be surprised, but Women's National Rugby League, Women's Sevens Rugby, appreciate the skill set. I've got to say, and yes, the Matildas, outstanding, world class. The AFLW do not have enough players of appropriate skill to have the number of sides that they've got, and they've added more teams.
And so I ask you this, Jimmy, and I'm not across it, and I'm hoping you will have some understanding, but have they gone from amateur to professional? Like, did they have an amateur league? Did they have a second tier competition or a semi-professional competition?
They had competitions playing all around, in different states and all of that sort of thing. And whether I describe them as professional now, I would say no, because they are not full time. The women's cricketers, full time. Mm. The footballers are full time, and they play around the globe and are able to do that. But the AFLW, like, it's very hard to watch. You get the exceptions, and that's what the NRL did very well. A lot of people were critical. Oh, you're only putting four sides in. But what you had then was a concentration of talent within four sides. And 2 years down the track, you might get six sides. Mm. And then there's still a pathway. There's still a pathway for those girls who want to play. If you only had six AFLW sides, then you might be thinking, okay, now we've got the right number of talented individuals inside. No one's suggesting that women's sport is not important and that they shouldn't be a pathway. No one's suggesting that. But the way it's set up with the AFLW, there are not enough talented players, I think.
And here's the thing, you just because you get some TV rights behind it and you start charging people more to come into a game to watch it, doesn't
yes.
mean you instantly get a fantastic product.
Correct.
And that's the thing, you've got to build slowly. A tree doesn't grow overnight. You've got to sow the seeds and you've got to incrementally water those seeds to get the end product.
Thank you, Dave from Cronulla. We appreciate that. We'll take people's thoughts on it. 1353 53. Now it's time to talk some A-League. And just on that, there's we're having some talk about A-League, and there's a really good SMS that's coming about that. I've felt for some years that the A-League is not progressing at all in any direction. I read with extreme interest an article that appeared about the A-League by Mike Tuckerman, who said the A-League has 6 months to save itself from oblivion. That comes in from, oh, no name, expert yesterday. But anyway.
No, that's come in from Paul from Wente.
Oh.
He sent a subsequent text in to say that it was
okay.
Him that sent it in.
Paul from Wente.
Yeah,
thoughts?
So thank you for that, Paul. And look, I'd be lying if I said there was no truth to what you've sent in. I think the A-League has faced its challenges around stagnation. And if you look at the, before the last board went out, I think there was probably too much emphasis that went into the Socceroos World Cup qualification.
Right.
And the eye was taken off the A-League ball a little bit. And then with the new board, obviously all the talk and the governance around the game, all the talk now is about the A-League being independently run. And I think that's absolutely crucial.
Right.
To reinvigorating the A-League, because there are parts of it that definitely have stagnated, and it definitely needs a fresh injection of ideas and promotion and marketing and, star quality comes out.
Expansion?
Expansion is definitely part of it.
Yeah.
I was a big advocate for putting two teams in next season, expanding by two.
Right.
I've gone with one in Western Melbourne, and then the season after that, the MacArthur Western Sydney bid. But I just don't understand why we wouldn't have just expanded by two. So now we're going to get a bye in the next season. And
no more games for TV.
That's
so
right.
No more product.
Yep, no more product. And it goes back to what we were just talking about then about, do we have the quality when we're talking about the women's AFL, do we have the quality to sustain more teams in the A-League? Well, in football, we have to. And There's so many things to talk about around it, Jimmy. So we haven't got time this morning. But one of the big issues, I think, is the development of players in the top third, because you're allowed five foreigners per club.
Yes.
So we've got 10 clubs at the moment. So you do the math on that. And most of the foreigners that we sign are in the top third.
When you say top third, the attacking part of the field.
So you're talking wingers, you're talking strikers, you're talking number 10s, creative midfielders.
Yes.
So the chance to develop our own in those positions, hence why the Socceroos have struggled to find the next Timmy Cahill, the next Mark Viduka, next Harry Kewell, it's a big, big problem. Big problem.
Bigger problems for Western Sydney Wanderers, beaten 5-1 by the Newcastle Jets on Friday. Where do they go to now? Marcus Babbel is got to be a man under pressure.
Yeah, look, you would think so. I mean, Paul Lederer, their owner, who is a wonderful football man, knows his football inside out, came out and supported Marcus Babbel a couple of weeks ago. Now, those of us in sport know better. could take that the other way. But look, Paul Lederer is a man of his word. So if he's come out and said that, I would suggest that him and John Satsumas are comfortable with Marcus Babbel going forward. John Satsumas is the CEO of the Wanderers, both good football people. Marcus Babbel has continually questioned the quality of his squad this season. And bigger issues around the A-League with no promotion and relegation, and players in Australia don't know what pressure is because you're not, you don't live and die by your results.
Yes.
Six out of 10 teams make the finals, four don't.
Yes.
Rewarding mediocrity, all those sort of things. But the bottom line is he's bought some players in this season, and the latest was Mitchell Duke, who scored in the 19th second of his debut for the Wanderers the other night, which is a good sign.
Yeah.
So you can see what sort of players he wants to bring in. But this season has been another write-off for the Western Sydney Wanderers. That's at the root of the problem. Since they left Pertec Stadium in Parramatta, it's been a disastrous experience on the road for them. Spotless, homeless.
Yes.
So the quicker they get back to Parramatta, I think the quicker they'll have a chance of fixing their woes.
All right. Victory 3-2 over the Mariners. Adelaide United 4-3 over the Roar. Plenty of goals in that one. 3-0 Perth Glory. Any real surprise there? And then I want to get your thoughts on the big game today at Jubilee Oval, Sydney FC up against Melbourne City.
Well, quite a remarkable night of A-League last night. Central Coast Mariners were 2-0 up against Melbourne Victory at home. Two wonderful free kicks from Andrew Hull. And then Melbourne Victory sprung to life in the second half and came home strong. A big error from Ben Kennedy for one of the goals, which didn't help. But, look, you know, Melbourne Victory, it was an interesting lineup. Terry Antonis playing right fullback, and he's been one of their absolute keys in midfield this season. So obviously some things going on behind the scenes with regards to those selections yesterday. Ola Toivonen was on the bench, apparently nursing some soreness. So Kevin Muscat probably rotating his squad after a busy Christmas New Year period. But they got the points in the end, avoided the banana skin. The season of woe continues for Central Coast Mariners. Adelaide, this game was absolutely remarkable. Three red cards.
Right.
It was just one of those games that that you had to see to believe. And in the end, Adelaide came away with a 97th minute winner from Mile Yuznik. A fantastic ball in from the left, great header to wrap up the points. But Brisbane were 3-0 up. 3-0 up at half time, away from home in Adelaide. And lose the game 4-3. Quite remarkable. So, yeah, look, and that is one of the beauties of the A-League, is that you just never know what you're going to get. And that was a clear example there. Perth Glory, 3-0. Pretty comfortable winners over Wellington. I think the distance derby got to the legs of the Wellington players, notwithstanding the fact Mark Rudin has done a wonderful job this season with Wellington to have them in the top six. Today's game.
$1.95 FC, $3.55 the draw. Melbourne City, $3.85.
Sydney FC to win at home. They will unveil two new signings, Reza Gucanichad. You can call him Gucci.
Okay.
If you like, Jimmy.
Go on, do your bit.
No. I've already come up with a dad joke. If dad he carries joke, okay. A bit of baggage with him. But right. Yeah. Let's not go there again.
Well, you did.
I'll get laughed out of the studio.
Yeah.
But the other signing from Steve Corriker, and I think this is a very important one, Mitch Austin. From Newcastle Jets.
Okay.
We have not seen the best of Mitch Austin yet. He is a powerful, quick, very, very quick winger who's capable of creating and scoring goals from wide areas. And I think Steve Corriker's management style will get the best out of this kid.
There you go.
Comes with great pedigree. His dad, Greg Austin, was a winger for Manly Seagulls.
Is he the grandson of Reg Austin?
And he's the grandson of Reg Austin.
Seriously?
Yeah.
The legendary Australian sprinter.
That's right. So
and sprint coach.
Think about that pedigree.
Yeah.
The kid is lightning quick.
Is that right?
Our lightning quick. I'll say kid, he's 27 now.
Okay.
I had him down at Manly years ago as a young tacker. I think that's a very astute signing from Corica because he lost Trent Bahadur in the pre-season who gave them all their pace.
Right.
He's now replaced it.
All right. Now, was there a result that stood out for you in the English Premier League? 5-0 Chelsea over Huddersfield Town. Aaron Moy back there. But, more importantly, can Manchester United beat Leicester away? Can Arsenal beat the might of Manchester City? And will Liverpool maintain their hold at the top of the English Premier League?
No, yes and no. So Manchester United won't beat Leicester.
Come on.
Arsenal will beat Manchester City and Liverpool will beat West Ham.
Arsenal's going to beat Manchester City?
No, probably not.
Right.
To be brutally honest, that's my optimistic supporters cap
right.
on there. But
right.
No, look, I think the favourites in all three of those games will get up. I think Manchester United will beat Leicester away. I think Manchester City will bounce back and beat Arsenal at home. And I think Liverpool will get the points away to West Ham. So disappointing the other morning, the Liverpool result against Leicester. On a number of fronts, did we play well enough to win the game? Probably just, but not convincing enough. I thought it was a chance for us to really make a statement with Manchester City losing to Newcastle.
Mm.
We didn't do that. Should we have had a penalty to Mane? Stonewall, 100% penalty. We didn't get it.
Mm.
But c'est la vie. It was a point. We're 5 points clear. You'd take that if you were offered that before the season at this stage.
I love the way it's we. We did this, and we deserve that.
Oh, no, that's just my French coming out.
Yeah, we're here. Oh, we are. 1353-53, the open line number. Okay, so give us your tip that you like out of those ones in the English Premier League. Man City up against Arsenal, as we said. Leicester, they're the $3.50 outsiders. Is there a price there that jumps out at you?
No, look, as I said, I think Manchester United, Manchester City and Liverpool will get the points.
There's an all-up.
Yeah, I'd throw that into a multi.
$2.10, $1.28, $1.40 is the multi there from Phil Moss. Good on you, Mossy. You enjoyed doing that. 1353 53 is the open line number. You think you get it right after
you're
a decade.
Good with numbers, Jimmy, aren't you?
Exactly. We'll take seven callers now. Let's go to Anthony. G'day, Anthony.
Good morning. Listen, before I give you my replacements, can I ask why Angelo Matthews is not playing this test series and why Tommy Urich didn't play in the Asian Cup?
Angelo Matthews is not playing because he's injured. He picked up an injury in the New Zealand series. What that injury is, I'm not 100% sure.
And Tommy Urich wasn't selected by Graham Arnold. Pure and simple. A tactical decision.
Well, he obviously owns that decision, so we'll see what happens. With replacements, Jimmy, I'm not saying that Mossy's better than the starters, but I've got some replacements here which are better than starters. Cahill played most of his caps for the Socceroos off the bench, he hardly started. And
not most. He didn't play most, did he?
No, definitely not most. Towards the end, he did.
Against the main teams, I guess. And Peter Cook and Ron Critton filled in for Miracles to win Cox Plate on Kingston Town. And I wish Cookie rode him in the Melbourne Club because his A's were the clock tower.
Oh, leave our little man Malcolm alone.
They're better than the replacements. Are better than the starters. Would you say not?
Oh no, I'm not going to say that.
You lost me at the start when you said you're not saying Mossy's a better replacement than Ray. I switched off.
I was just trying to get on Jimmy's good side.
Yeah.
Before
good ploy.
You know Ray's up listening in Perth and he's just fallen off his stool.
He wouldn't be up this early.
Oh yes, he would. He'd probably done a run and done some push-ups by now. Good on you, Anthony. Appreciate that. 1353-53, the open line number. Just before we go to the break, third question in the China Doll quiz. Third question in the China Doll quiz. What's the name of the mountain that Mossy and Mark Waugh walk up on the Central Coast? Fair dinkum. No truth to the rumour that they're holding hands at the same time. What's the name of the mountain that Mark Waugh and Phil Moss see each other walking up and down
on the Central Coast?
Is mountain?
You could maybe call it a hill.
Hill?
Well, it's when you run up it, it feels like a mountain.
Right.
But it's probably more a
hill.
Remember
there was that Hugh Grant movie that the man who went up a hill and came down a mountain?
Well, I'm the opposite.
You went up the mountain and came down the hill. All right. So what's the name of the... Well, let's call it a hill, the Central Coast there, Mark Waugh and Phil Moss. Landmark is another word to describe it. We'll take a break and we'll be back with more.
Sky Sports Radio can be relied on for the latest racing news when it breaks.
There was about 20 armed officers converged on the Warrnambool Racecourse, the Weir Stables, this morning.
When one of Australia's leading racing stables was being raided, Racing HQ had all the angles covered, bringing you the latest.
I believe two items of interest have been found.
Racing HQ continues to lead the way in presenting all the summer and autumn carnival news every day on Sky Sports Radio.
It's a new millennium for racing at Warwick Farm this Saturday on Inglis Millennium Day. Be trackside for Sydney's first million-dollar race day of 2019. Headlined by the $2 million Inglis Millennium for two-year-olds, the $1 million Inglis Sprint, and Group 2 Breeders Classic. An exciting day of racing, hospitality, and free children's entertainment. Advance tickets from $12. Book now at theraces.com.au.
Beautiful place, beautiful people, and they make this a beautiful game. Nandulva, the step, the pace on the outside, it's a rout, it's a celebration of Fiji rugby.
There you go. Yes, the Sevens tournament's currently on in Sydney at the moment. There is no back announce there because it says Jimmy and Ray, and of course it's Jimmy and Mossy today up until 10 o'clock, which is only another 11 minutes you have to put up with me, Mossy.
Mate, I'd almost like to take you home with me today, Jimmy. Spend the rest of the day with you.
What are you suggesting? Not that there's anything wrong with that, but...
What a way to start the Sunday. It's been fun.
You do get pumped up, don't you?
It is good fun.
Yeah. I've got to say, Ray and I always say, oh, yeah, Sunday. And then you get in here and you think, God, we have a good time.
Yeah, it is.
I hope the listeners feel the same way, as in can hear us having a good time. They may not agree with anything or everything we say. But anyway, we enjoy doing it on a Sunday morning. The radio show, that is. 1353-53 is the open line number. We've got our winner for the first ever China Doll quiz. And congratulations to Deborah from Coffs Harbour. By the way, Deborah, worth the travel. to come down to Sydney, or next time you're in Sydney, you've got yourself a $150 voucher courtesy of Chinadoll, chinadoll.com.au. What horse was James Cummings needing the help of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend team to get into the All-Star Mile? Elise. Who did Zorba meet when he visited Australia? Which former NFL great? That was Joe Montana. And the Skillion is the name of the hill slash mountain slash landmark on the Central Coast that Mark Waugh and Phil Moss walk up.
At the picturesque Terrigal Haven.
Yeah, right.
It's a beautiful spot there.
Now, there's a footy ground at the top there, isn't there?
There is. There's a footy ground in the bowl. And then you've got the Skillion that goes off to one side, which overlooks the ocean.
Okay. Oh,
nice. Rugby club, yeah.
Yeah. Sounds lovely. Lovely. Mm. Must get up there some stage. 1353 53, the open line number. Time now to speak to Trent Lanscar from tab.com.au, our Victorian listener. Hello, Trent.
Hello, dear Jimmy and Mossy. Did like the fact as well, Jimmy, that you did say to Mossy he has to put up with you for another 10 minutes as well, and he'd probably be relieved by that.
9 minutes now and counting, mate.
What are you laughing at, Lanscar?
I just enjoyed that little quip there, and Mossy, I think, enjoyed it too.
Yeah, I don't think you were the only ones.
I always enjoy my own quips.
Yeah.
Just ask Jimmy.
Now, Trent, we're going to start a little bit off tap this morning. Super Bowl 53 is on Monday at 10:30. What are we looking at from a markets point of view?
Yep, so we have the Los Angeles Rams at $2.15 and the New England Patriots $1.74. The line for the game is 2.5 points, as you would expect. Jimmy, there are plenty of markets available on the Super Bowl. There's the over-under. There's also the Super Bowl 53 MVP. And it is dominated by quarterbacks. Tom Brady from New England at $2. Jared Goff from the Los Angeles Rams at $2.75. Of the non-quarterbacks, Todd Gurley, the main running back for the Los Angeles Rams, is an $11 chance. The over-unders for the game, there's different ranges, 51.5, 56.5, and 61.5 points. And even there are novelty markets as well. Give me just the ones like, what's the first song that Maroon 5 are going to sing at halftime? What colour's the Gatorade going to be poured on the winning coach?
Oh, nice.
You can find a few of those ones as well. The MVP, who will they thank first? I thank God for making it all possible. I thank my teammates, my coach, my family, those type of ones there. So you can have some fun if you're not particularly interested in watching the whole game for 4 hours, but the LA Rams, $2.15, and the New England Patriots, $1.74.
I've got to say, the Maroon 5 song that's most recent, I don't know the name of it, but it's a cracker. You can't help singing along to that one.
And do you know the most important part of a speech when you receive something?
No.
Thank the missus or the partner.
Yeah, good point.
If you leave that one out, you're a dead man walking.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Yeah. And so remembering Tom Brady to thank your better half.
Trent, let's move on.
Much better.
I can hear some listeners starting to snore. Second test between Australia and Sri Lanka continues this morning. Australia, 5 declared for 534. Sri Lanka, in reply, 3 for 123. What do you got for us?
You're in a great position, Mossy. Australia, $1.09 to win the second test. The draw, $6. And Sri Lanka, 67. I guess it just depends. It appears to be a road there at Manuka Oval, but day three will begin in just over half an hour's time. There's also the Big Bash tonight, a couple of games, 6:15 at the Adelaide Oval. You have the Adelaide Strikers, $1.70, and the Brisbane Heat, $2.15. And then 9:15 tonight at Optus Stadium, the Perth Scorchers, they can't make the finals there, $2.30. And the Melbourne Stars, $1.62. The Big Bash just keeps on going.
Yeah, it certainly does. A couple of games today in the NBL, including the Sydney Kings in action again against the Brisbane Bullets.
They are, Jimmy. They played on Friday night, and the Sydney Kings won in Brisbane 95-93. At home this time at Kudos Bank Arena from $2.50. The Sydney Kings are $1.67, and the Brisbane Bullets $2.20. And then 5:20 at Melbourne Arena, you have Melbourne United against the New Zealand Breakers, and they played in Friday night in Auckland, and Melbourne United easily won that, 107-87. Melbourne United are $1.34 this time, with the New Zealand Breakers at $3.30. And just to finish, Mossy has no doubt talked about the plenty of soccer, just the one match to come in the A-League, 5 o'clock this afternoon at Jubilee Oval. Sydney FC $1.95 against Melbourne City at $3.85, the draw at $3.55. And then the EPL overnight from 1 o'clock, Manchester United $2.10 away to Leicester City. And at 3:30 in the morning, Manchester City, $1.28 at home to Arsenal. Plenty else happening, but you can check out all those markets and plenty more at tab.com.au.
I can't believe that Manchester United are favourites away to Leicester. I just can't believe that, Jimmy.
Give me a break. There you go. You're probably in on that too, are you, Langscar?
Well, I've just checked with Vot. Does he think that it would he be safe whilst he just Leicester City win or draw, which will be about $1.65, or are you just happy to take Leicester City to get maximum points?
Well, look, there's a school of thought that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has to lose at some point.
Yes.
Could this be the game? The answer, I believe, is probably not. But they held Liverpool, and anyone who holds Liverpool is capable of holding Manchester United.
So just take the safe option, the insurance, $1.65. They might not win, but they'll be at least be able to hold a Manchester United to a draw there.
That's right. And then we look at Liverpool taking on West Ham, but that's not till Tuesday morning, I think, our time.
Yeah, that is 7 o'clock in the morning with that particular match. And just quickly, even though it's at London Stadium, Liverpool are $1.40, the draw $5, and West Ham $7. Also good to note, Jimmy, that Tottenham just kept the pressure on the top two with that 1-0 win at home to Newcastle United overnight.
I was just about to ask you who your EPL side is, and now I've discovered that it's Tottenham, and that explains a lot of things.
Son Heung-min, he returned from the Asian Cup in great form, didn't he?
Trent, thank goodness
scored,
he's back.
Scored midweek as well.
Thank goodness, after being knocked out of two cups in the space of 72 hours over last weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's something I didn't know about then. Trent.
Listen.
Spurs fan. There you go.
Talk about hear the snoring. Good on you, Trent. Speak again next week, maybe.
Thanks, mate.
Oh, sorry, Jimmy. Yeah, thank you.
No.
Cheers, bossy.
I mean, that's more of me than you. But anyway, 1353-53, the Overline number. Liverpool. This is from Scooter. Talk about replacements. Liverpool replacing an unbeatable position with second place on the EPL ladder. Wouldn't you love to see that? Gee, I'd love to see that. The gnashing of teeth and the hair being pulled out, the famous Ted Danson hair being pulled out by Phil Moss. Gee, I'd love to see that.
Won't happen. There's another tweet just above that. Hey, Mossy, don't sell yourself short. I thought that Gucci line was one of your best. Loving the show. Regards, Pete Williams.
Mate of yours?
Yes, he is, actually.
That's the honest thing in the book. There, Dickham. Good on you,
he's
Pete.
Always loved my dad jokes. He was my captain of the first 11 at Shore in, crikey, 1987.
So you're a Shore boy?
Shore boy,
oh,
yeah.
Here we go. I didn't realise that there's a silver spoon came in with
we
you.
We just keep taking the new heights, don't we, Jim?
1353-53, just before we say goodbye for the day, Max is on the line. G'day, Max.
Oh, hello, Phil, you champion. How are you going?
G'day, Max. How
you're
are you?
You're a Shore old boy, are you, Max?
No, oh, is that you, Jimmy? Yeah, hello to you too, Jim.
Yes, Max.
mate, Mark Wall was on the show, and he said he gets nervous and it makes him go to sleep. You know what makes me go to sleep, Jimmy?
Oh, here we go, Max.
you and Bray banging on about who's going to win the beer after the event cinema squeeze, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, look, don't worry, Jim. I'm only joking. Lighten up a bit.
I'll tell you what, Max, I was about to launch into you. Listen, Max, if you don't like it, turn off the phone, turn off the radio, go out and have a walk.
Well, I do, when the event cinema's on.
Fair enough. I take your point. I'll tell you what, it's the most inane quiz of all time. However, two highly competitive people like to get stuck into each other, Max. So,
mate, the quiz is fantastic. It's just you banging on about who's going to win. It takes no talent whatsoever.
You're exactly right. It is no reflection on the knowledge that either of us have. However, we both like to win, and that's what makes it all important. 1353-53 is the open line number. Hey, we've got to find a winner. Well done, Deborah from Coffs Harbour, first winner of the China Doll quiz. We've got to find a winner of the Wingman beer. The Wingman beer winner goes via SMS to Smacker, who made mention of bold personality being a fine replacement for, no pun intended there, for fine cotton. Mossy, that's it, mate. That's 3 hours gone like
that's
that.
That's remarkable. Well, apparently we're only awake for 2.5 of them. Here's an SMS, Paramat, who we've heard from.
Yes.
It's been an outstanding show. I've been asleep since 8:30. One of your best, Jimmy. Love my Sunday sleep-ins with you guys.
Thank you, Paramat. I do appreciate it. Have a good day, Mossy.
You too, Jimmy.
Yeah, hope you've enjoyed your little filling and done a great job. Sapphire Coast Cup Day preview with John Scores coming up after 10 o'clock. And a big shout out for the tab.com.au Canberra Cup a little bit later on tonight. That's from 9 p.m. In the world of harness racing. We are saying goodbye. Ray will be back next week. And I hope you have a great week in the meantime.
Is Sky Sports Radio, heard throughout New South Wales, including Brewarrina, 96.1 FM, Kempsey, 101.5 FM, Narangra, 88 FM, and Lightning Ridge, 98.5 FM. Bushfire season is upon us. Sky Sports Radio and Tabcorp asks our listeners to remain vigilant and immediately report any outbreaks. Let's stay safe in New South Wales this summer. Thursday mornings on Sky Sports Radio.
Looking forward to a chinwag today, as always.
Chinwag with Cossie brings you in-depth